The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we get to sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and related music industry experts. If you love playing guitar, stick around. You're in the right place. Hey, this is Craig Garber. When I'm not interviewing world-class guitar players, I'm busy helping clients with their marketing. In fact, since March of 2000, I've helped over 300 clients in 108 different industries all over the world sell everything from $20 books to $5,000 seminar seats and everything in between. I even authored a marketing book called How to Make Maximum Money with Minimum Customers. And now, I'm giving away a free marketing strategy session to business owners who qualify. On this call, we'll discuss what's currently working in your business, specific sales and marketing problems you're struggling with, and I'll identify specific strategies you can use to overcome these problems and increase your cash flow. To find out if you qualify and to book your free marketing strategy session with me, go to everyonelovesguitar.com/marketing right now. Again, to book your free marketing strategy session with me, go to everyonelovesguitar.com/marketing right now. Thanks for listening. Now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar, and we've got an amazingly cool and incredibly talented guitar player with us. We're with Jane Getter out of New York City. According to Guitar Player magazine, Jane's the fiercest female ever to strap on a Stratocaster, but I think even if she played a Telecaster, they'd be saying the same thing. She's an amazing player as well as a band leader and a very gifted writer. Her composing talents received attention when she won the ASCAP Gershwin Award for Music for Theater and Dance in the mid-90s. At the same time, she also recorded and toured with Lenny White, the legendary drummer from Return to Forever. And she co-wrote with Lenny Urbanator's smooth jazz hit Hopscotch, along with some other compositions, which were recorded on Lenny White's Present Tense and Acoustic Masters CD. She also received widespread exposure playing guitar in the Saturday Night Live band in 1995. She's released 5 solo albums on her own. Her third album, 3, was submitted for a Grammy nomination, and her latest album, On Tour, features her own band, the Jane Getter Premonition, and it's also been submitted for a Grammy nomination. I will tell you, if you haven't heard this band, you really should listen to them. They're extremely talented, really passionate, and they play great music. And I'd say it's probably a combination of hard rock, fusion, funk, and blues, and they really... I mean, it's not for the faint of heart, man. You better go in there prepared to get some energy boosted into you. I would recommend you check out her song Train Man on YouTube just as an opener. It will really knock your socks off. Her band's got some extremely talented people. Adam Holtzman on keys. He's played with Miles Davis and Steven Wilson. Brian Beller on bass. He's played with Joe Satriani and the Aristocats. And the touring bass player is usually Stu Hamm or Mark Egan. Chad Wackerman on drums. Chad's been with Frank Zappa and Alan Holdsworth. And special guests, Corey Glover, who was also a special guest for the recording of the album On, and Vernon Reed, who plays with them on set sometimes. Alex Skolnick from Testament and the Alex Skolnick Trio is also part of the band. I interviewed Alex in episode 196, incredibly talented musician. And Theo Travis plays saxophone. He's played with Steven Wilson and Robert Fripp. He is as well a special guest with the band. James appeared in Guitar Player magazine regularly with feature interviews in the February 2013 and January 2016 issues. She's also written instructional articles for Guitar Player's session section. Other great artists Jane has recorded or performed with, including Ursula Dudziak, The Roots, The Jam, Jamo. I don't always say that name. It's Jamo. Jamo. I don't know. I've messed that up for like 40 years. From the Allman Brothers. I have. Kenny Garrett and legendary Headhunters drummer Mike Clark, Regina Carter, Michael Urbaniak, and many more. Her band has played and toured internationally in festivals and venues worldwide, including Warsaw's Guitar City, Austria's Outreach Festival, San Francisco Jazz Festival, New York City at BB King's, The Blue Note, The Iridium. These are all first-class clubs in New York. India's B-flat Bar, the North Sea Jazz Club, and many more. Jane, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
The Gershwin Award, what was that for, and is there a backstory to that?
When I was a music student at City College in New York, they presented an opportunity to the students to submit a composition for this contest that they have. And it was exactly that, music for theater or dance. And so it was a song that I had written, and I turned it into like a suite with a few different movements. It's called the Red Earth Suite. Unfortunately, it's never been played, but I did write it, and I won it, and I won $1,500.
That's a lot of money.
And bought my Mesa Boogie Mark V with it.
Very cool. And so you were just a kid when that happened. That's awesome. Very cool. And then you wound up touring with Lenny. Was that through the visibility of getting that award that you hooked up with Lenny White?
No.
Okay.
That was with Lenny White with Urbanator. That was with Urbanator.
How did you get connected with him in the first place?
I'm not sure. Let's see. I'm trying to remember how I met Lenny. It was just through some New York connections, and we started writing together. And it was at that time that Michael Urbaniak formed the Urbanator band, and we wrote a few songs. Obviously, one of them ended up being their smooth jazz hit called Hopscotch, which is still being played. And then there's a few other songs that Lenny plays with his current band a lot now that we wrote together.
Talk about, maybe if you can, how you wound up connecting with these folks, and if you have any cool or interesting stories about your experiences with them. Vernon Reed.
Vernon Reed, I met through my husband, Adam Halsman, knows him. I'm not sure how he knows him, but I met him through that connection. Obviously, that connection. I met him through my husband. And my only thing that I can say about Vernon Reed is that he's a really nice, down-to-earth person, and really has some interesting ideas about life and ways of looking at life. And I enjoyed working with him a lot.
From a playing standpoint, what makes him Vernon Reed? It's a kind of a vague question. Let me see if I could rephrase that. He's really got a unique style and vibe. Like when he picks up the guitar, it's like, oh, that's
right.
Vernon Reed, like immediately.
Right.
What is that? Is it his tone it's a bunch of things, but.
I think when he's soloing and he gets like, you know, the climax of his solo, in the middle of his solo, he plays this really fast stuff that's almost like the notes are almost sort of hard to pick out. It's sort of just sort of a wave of sound, you know.
Yeah.
And I find really interesting. And he plays with this huge pick. I mean, it's like huge and thick and hard. I mean, it's like, I don't know how he actually manages to manipulate that pick, but
that's interesting, because you read articles once in a while and people will say, oh, this is the pick you got to use, and it's always like a pick like that, and I've played them and I'm like, how the hell do you do anything with this thing?
And I play with such the opposite, a really small those teardrop picks.
Yeah,
then that I even like file down a little bit the edges so that it fits to how I like it when you know, custom size. So it's such the opposite of that.
Yeah. To me, I see those things like using the end of a spoon or something like that. It's just really awkward and just weird. That's interesting.
Yeah. I tell my students that when they're holding a pick too far to the end where they've got a lot of pick in front of them, that they have to maneuver. It's almost like when you're playing baseball when you were a kid and you pick up a bat that's too big for you and you don't choke up. You've got something that it's just hard to control, you know, and that's why you choke up on a bat. And that's why I tell my students, to compare it to that. And you want to have less pick to maneuver, you know.
Jane, I'm very impressed by your baseball knowledge, to be honest. Jane's got it all, guitar lessons, coaching and baseball. How about J-Mo?
J-Mo was a connection through an agent I was working with at that time. And, you know, I had been a big Allman Brothers fan for years. And so I was really, really excited. And he's a jazz player at heart. I mean, that's what he loves, to play jazz. And he's got a jazz band right now that's been touring and doing shows. But it's so funny when you play jazz with him, it still sounds like the Allman Brothers. It's so weird. I'm not really sure what it is that he's doing, but his sound is like.
That's really funny.
I was cracking up when we were playing. It's like, holy shit, I'm playing with the Allman Brothers.
That's amazing. What's he like as a leader, a band leader?
Let's see. What is he like?
And I'm not looking for gossip. I mean, like. Yeah. Philosophy or management or you know,
he was co-leading with this trombone player named Dick Griffin, so it wasn't all on him, but he, you know, he focuses on the rhythm part of what you're doing and not so much harmonically or the notes or whatever. I mean, for him it's gotta feel good and it's gotta be, you know, in the pocket, and that's the kind of stuff that he would focus on.
So drummer mindset, drummer approach, I guess, is what you'd expect. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
What are you working on now that you're most excited about? You got a lot of things, you know, fingers in a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm working on my next album, writing the material for my next album, and I'm, you know, pretty psyched about what's coming out compositionally. And I actually have more than enough material for another album, so I don't know if possible to do a two CD set, or depending on what I can come up with financially for it. But
sure,
yeah.
Is this going to be with the Jane Getter Premonition?
Yeah.
Do you do all the writing alone, or do you do co-writing with these guys?
I'm the sole writer for the stuff.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
To crank out all that material. That's tough.
Yeah.
Where are you originally from? And where'd you grow up?
New Jersey.
And you grew up in Jersey?
Yep.
What was your childhood like growing up there?
Very suburban. My dad, worked. He was a general contractor. Worked 6 days a week, actually, usually. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, I got, they gave us, me and my sister, music lessons when we were young. And she didn't stay with music, I did. And very supportive of the arts, even though they're not artists themselves.
You know,
my mom always said, my mom always was hoping that I would marry a doctor or a lawyer.
Very conventional.
And I could do my music.
You could do your music, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it's interesting, though.
That didn't happen. But
like probably 75 to 80% of the musicians I interview had super supportive parents. And I don't think that's by coincidence. I think that's a big... It's tough enough being a musician, but to do it in the face of like, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. I think it's like, but like 75 to 80, maybe even more. It's a very high number, very consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Was playing guitar was something you always wanted to do, or you,
Yeah. Going back to the music lessons that I was given as a child, I was given piano lessons. This is a fun story that I like to tell. I was given piano lessons and my sister was given guitar lessons. And during her lessons, I used to sit at the top of the stairs and spy on her lessons. And so I think I was always drawn to the guitar, even at an early age. When I was like 9 or 10 or something like that. So yeah, I was always drawn to the guitar.
Very cool. Now your style of playing, you're like very talented and you incorporate lots of genres of music, right? And it's all played, excuse me, at a very high and intense level, you know, of performance and energy, intensity.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was curious what attracted you to that, and did you always play like that, or was this something you like found a voice and you grew into it, or?
Well, I think that I went through different stages of musical styles, never discounting any other styles. I love many, many different styles of music. I have a very eclectic taste in music. And even if I was playing, even during my jazz years, I was always listening to rock and, you know, world music and all different kinds of music. And so I think that that just all, you know, all ended up, you know, coming out to what I'm doing now. I mean, even throughout all my time when I write in my different stages of musical endeavors, I think that it always, all my eclectic tastes in music always enters into it and comes out in my writing, has always come out of my writing.
One thing I was curious about also, you play at a very intense level. And
thank you.
And I mean that in a very good way, like emotionally, and it's like you're bringing it, you know, you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel it.
Mm.
When people do that, I find that a lot of times there's like working, you know, it's like you're working something out almost in your brain. Like, you know, that's an outlet for you to dump, you know, whatever stress, emotional garbage, or, you know, bullshit's going on in your head. Is there something like specific that drew you to that? You know, like, did you feel like when you first got that intensity, you were able to, you know, clean out your head of X, Y, and Z specific stuff, or that, you know, like what motivates, what's the emotional motivator for you to play at that level? If that's even a question.
Experiencing many times when I've experienced like breakups with boyfriends or rejections from certain gigs I didn't get or certain situations or I don't know, like the death of my father or something, I end up writing songs that connects with what I'm going through, and it channels that emotion of that experience, and then for some reason it kind of helps me deal with the situation.
Yeah.
But it's not a conscious thing. Like, I just pick up the guitar and I just start coming up with some stuff, and it just really gets, you know, connects to the experience. It comes out of the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised though, because like I said, you're bringing it, and, you know, as a listener, you feel that stuff, you know, you can tell when someone's like, you know, don't interrupt this one, you know, kind of a thing, because it's like, whoa, which is great. You know, it's like, you know, a privilege to see that.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like to some extent that person's making themselves vulnerable there, you know? And so I respect that very much.
Yeah. In terms of the playing, the intensity in the playing, to me, like, one of the most amazing experiences when you're playing is when you're totally connected. I call it connected to the universe, really. Mm. And the band and you know, you're playing and everybody's connected, and there's no bullshit.
Yeah.
From, you know, your life or the world or politics or anything else that kind of brings you down. It's gone. And you are just totally connected with it, and it's an expression of your soul. Huh. You know, I feel.
You also do a good job in your writing, and that sounds mean because, like, you do a good job. Like, who the hell am I? I really enjoy is probably a better way of saying it. You mm-hmm. Your modulation is really deliberate and very smart. From a it's planned and it's done really, really well. Do you do that intentionally, or is like as you're writing, or is that coming out in the music?
Modulation, you're talking like about
volume and tempo sort of stuff.
Well, sometimes it's conscious. Like sometimes I, if there's like a really heavy section, and then I feel that it needs to, there needs to be a break from that. Just because it gets after if you've got like a really intense section for a long period of time, it just starts sounding less intense and the listening experience becomes numbed out.
Yeah. You do a great job of making sure that doesn't happen. That's, like you mentioned, what made me think of it is you said before about Vernon, when he gets to the climax of the solo, it's a way. Your music is like that. You do a good job climaxing it, backing it down. And it's
thank you.
The climax is a, it's, very powerful.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, you've been doing this a long time. What are some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome or challenges throughout your career, either personally, music related or business related?
Yeah. Well, when things have throughout my career, I go through like slow periods and busy periods, and when the slow periods, meaning when there's not much going on, and I start doubting myself. Am I kidding myself? Is this, what I mean? It's like, is this what I should be doing? Should I forget about it? And should I get a job? So I've had to go through that. I went through that a lot in my earlier stages of the career. And, I've reached a certain level where every once in a while I get a glimpse of self-doubt, but I feel pretty confident that what I'm doing is what I should be doing.
Yeah. No, I totally get that.
So that is something that I've had to deal with throughout my career. Thankfully, not so much anymore. The other obstacle that I've encountered has been the woman playing electric guitar in a man's world, and the opportunities that I feel that I was denied because of my sex. And I don't know if how many of the gigs that I've wanted or that I didn't get had to do with my sex or my playing or whatever, but I do know that there are certain band leaders that just don't want a woman in their band.
Sure.
And if someone is looking for a guitar player and they've got a list of five players and there's a woman in there, she's going to get called last.
Right.
Because the reputation of women players is not as, as a whole, is not as on the same level as male players. So I feel like I've missed out on some opportunities there.
It's interesting because I've heard that a couple of times, and the women I've heard it from have all been like such amazing players. I'm like, it's very hard to imagine that somebody wouldn't like want a player of that caliber.
Yeah.
It just seems really weird. Like, if a person who wasn't a good player mentioned that, man or woman, you could be like, well, okay, you just shut up. But that's really amazing. Does that happen less and less now over time?
I don't know. I mean, I hope it does. But I don't know. I can't really answer that.
Yeah.
I mean, because there are out there in the world, there's a lot of great women players, a lot more than from when I first started. In this endeavor. So hopefully the world is more accepting of that.
Yeah.
So I would hope so.
If you had to go back and give younger Jane advice, mm-hmm. assuming you would have listened to yourself, what advice might you have given yourself to make life easier?
Financial planning.
Learn
I just
the money.
I just opened up an IRA a few years ago, and as an artist, it's really hard to save money and to put money away, but I could have managed if I had realized the importance of it. So I would recommend that to all, young musicians, and don't forget about that. There is going to come a day where you're going to need some retirement money.
Yeah.
And it's not something to think, oh, I'll just do it sometime in the future, because all of a sudden it's the future.
Yeah. It's hard to tell people that.
Yeah, I know.
Time goes. I know. Let's talk about gear for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. What's your go-to guitar right now, and maybe what other few guitars would round out your top?
Yeah, my main guitar right now is a Picamoose Model 1. Picamoose is a small guitar shop in New York City owned and run by Paul Schwartz, who makes all the guitars. And it's a Strat style with humbuckers. I met Paul when I was a Fender artist, because he was the authorized Fender repair person, and I was bringing my Strat and my Tele and, some other guitars for him to work on. And he, obviously knew how I like guitars set up and blah, blah, blah. And then he just surprised me one day with this beautiful Picamoose guitar. It's this, orangey red with the sunburst. It's a beautiful color.
Yeah, the color is awesome.
Videos.
Yeah, the color
you
is beautiful.
On my videos.
Yeah.
It's got a red neck, and I always say, this is the only red neck I like.
Yeah. How do you spell Picamoose?
Peekamoose.
What a wild name.
Yeah.
A Picamoose. Okay. He's located in the city?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is he uptown by any chance?
Now he's uptown on the Upper East Side. He used to be in 351 West 30th Street, the music and arts building, where there was a lot of rehearsal studios, and I'm not sure. He might have been the only guitar shop, but it was a big, there was a lot of rehearsal studios, and then some developer bought it and kicked everybody out, so he moved up to the Upper East Side.
Yeah, because somebody had mentioned, another player in the city had mentioned him to me, I'm pretty sure, that he... did his work, his setups, his luthier, basically.
Yeah.
So I've heard that name before. Mm-hmm. Cool. So that do you use that pretty much all the time?
That's my main guitar. Yep. I mean, I have a Strat, a 60s style reissue from the custom shop that I used a lot before this one. I also have a 71 Tele that I love. But I find this one is... more versatile, and I think it has a great sound and just feels fantastic.
Does he, are those his pickups in there? Or are they?
There's Seymour Duncan.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your guitar is beautiful. That's the first thing I noticed. Yeah. And I noticed that neck too. I said, wow, what the hell is it? That's not a, I said, God, that must be a custom shop or something like that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Amp wise, what do you play out of usually?
Now I'm playing a Fuchs Full House 50. Are you familiar with Fuchs?
No, I have not.
Technology?
I was going to ask you, what is that?
Another small boutique shop out of Clifton, New Jersey. And it's got a great... Well, I have it's a head and a 212 cabinet. And it just sounds great. And I was playing a Mesa Boogie Mark V for a long time. And it just was so heavy. I mean, it's just really hard to move around for gigs, and I played through one of these. I was like, wow, this is so great. And so I sold the Boogie and got this.
You like support the tri-state.
I do.
Yeah, you're very,
I do. The boutique shop.
Yeah. Sure. Do you know what I remember about Clifton, New Jersey? Do you remember when we were kids, there was a commercial on television to send film to get developed? And it was this place in Clifton, New Jersey. It was like a revolutionary thing. Like, instead of bringing your pictures down to the local developer, you'd send it and they give you like three times as many pictures for half the price. It was like a mail order. Yeah, that's something I remember.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Clifton, New Jersey. I have a lot of useless things in my head, Jane. if I musically, well, let me ask you this. How, what fuels your obsession to play? Like, how do you feel? Like, and you, I know you said when you're, you know, at one with the universe, you've been doing this a long time. You've made a lot of sacrifices, you know, financially, emotionally, time, and you're still super passionate about it. What is that thing?
Yeah, I feel that, well, as a musician, I'm just constantly evolving. I mean, I hope that I'm evolving and growing. And so, and when, as that happens, there's, you know, new things that I bring into my playing that makes it still exciting and fresh for me.
So it's an ongoing mechanism for your own personal development and musical development.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And that
yes.
gets you excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great answer, because yeah. I think ultimately that's why everybody does whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, because when you're not constantly growing and being interested or excited about new things, it becomes stagnant and yeah. boring.
Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you.
I've been there, done it. So,
yeah. musically, if I asked you to pick your top three Desert Island discs,
I hate this question.
I know. Sorry.
It's so hard.
It is hard.
But go ahead. I actually do have. I've been thinking about that lately, and I do have an answer for you.
Great. It's just for today, and in no, you know, you can change it tomorrow. It's just, you know, like,
well,
knee-jerk.
One of them is always going to be Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life.
Great album.
And Mahavishnu Orchestra, Inner Mounting Flame.
See, that's a highly evolved musician picking that.
Yeah, for sure.
I could tell you right now.
So those two were easy. It's the third one that is hard to limit. But I'd have to say right now is Nine Inch Nails with Teeth.
That's very cool. All right. Now, the good thing is you could change your answer now, because it was just like knee-jerk reaction. So passed. It's over.
Okay.
What have you learned about yourself throughout this journey you've been on?
That I stay true to my convictions. Like, I haven't, during those periods where I've been tempted to just quit and just do something else, if things weren't going the way I wanted, or if I was broke and blah, 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 I still managed to just stay with it. And so I guess I'm pretty proud of myself that way.
Yeah, you should be. You know, it's funny when you talk with someone from New York, like, we're usually like at 45 minutes with a non-New Yorker at this point in time in the interview. You're like, boom, 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 boom. What, something or someone you miss from your childhood?
I have to say my father. I mean, he died in 2001, but he definitely played a big part of my, you know, growing up as a person, as an artist, and, you know.
Probably got a lot of your work ethic from him?
Got a lot of my work ethic from him. Yeah, I did. Yeah, he was a really hard worker. Like I said, he worked 6 days a week and, you know, like left at like 5 a.m. and would get home at like 7 p.m. And he was very honest and had a lot of integrity and really sincere and smart.
Mm.
And even though he wasn't an artist, he would always have good advice. And that would fit into any situation. And I always trusted him, and, you know, intensely. I wrote a song for him when he died called Did I Ever Tell You? It's on my album Sea Jane Run, if anybody's interested in checking it out.
Wow, that's pretty intense. What was the name of it?
Did I Ever Tell You?
And it's on Sea Jane Run. What a great album title.
Oh, yeah. Right, you get it. That's great.
That is amazing.
Yeah, a lot of the younger people, the millennials, won't get it because they didn't have to go through that.
Wow, what a great album title. Sea Jane Run. That's fantastic. Very cool song name, too.
Oh, thanks.
What do you do when you're having a bad day to make yourself feel better?
Depends on what has caused it to be a bad day.
The source of the stress, right?
The source of the stress. Like I said earlier, if it's, obviously I haven't had to deal with breaking up with a boyfriend for a long time because I've been married for a long time.
How long have you been married?
26 years.
Holy shit. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Jane.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. People don't realize that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thanks. And, you know, if there's been another, like, you know, if I didn't get a gig that I wanted or that, and then I started feeling, you know, insecure, you know, or whatever, I would end up writing a song like I talked about earlier. But other than that, I would go have a glass of wine or watch a movie to take my mind off it. Alcohol. Or maybe the combination of all of that.
I'm saying alcohol always fixes everything. It's so good. Do you have any non-musical superpowers?
What do you mean by superpower?
Well, you know, superpowers, like something that's inherent to you that like is a, you know, besides music, like obviously music for you is a superpower. You have this gift. Mm-hmm. And other people mm-hmm. have like things that are like they're really good at. You know, that just come uh-huh. naturally to them, like maybe sports or, you know, some people say cooking or,
mm-hmm.
you know, extrasensory perception.
I take dance.
Really?
African dance. I do a style of African dance from Senegal called Sabar.
Wow, that is wild.
Yeah.
And when does the baseball stuff come in?
Oh,
that was really impressive. You're like, you know, yeah, you know, that's a, you're the first woman to give me a baseball analogy about choking up. I was like, wow, that where did you get all that from?
Well, I was a pretty good athlete in my younger days. Okay. I guess growing up, and I guess I don't do much sports now. I mean, I do ski and you know play tennis, but not consistently. And I was a big Mets fan. For a while.
Yeah.
I haven't been following baseball that much, but I guess that's it. I was a pretty good athlete and, you know, like when I was in high school and stuff.
Very cool. Is there anything you're still interested in learning how to do?
Yes. I would love to learn to speak other languages. And I know a little bit of French. My dream is to become fluent in French. And at certain points I attempt to get that going, but then I always end up stopping it. So... Maybe I just have to live in France for a little while.
I was just going
to
say, yeah, that's the mm-hmm. ticket there. I mean, it's hard to, mm-hmm. you know, learn another language on your own, I would think, because like, who do you talk to? You look in the mirror, you talk back to the tape recorder. It's not like.
Right.
It's kind of tough.
Yeah, I always admire people that speak more than one language.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, if you can go back in time and do anything differently, either business or personal, besides financial planning, anything else that you would do?
Possibly start trying to get pregnant earlier than when I did. I have one amazing son, and I did try to have another child after that, but it didn't happen. So possibly start that whole thing earlier. But I had my career and everything, then I just wasn't ready. So
That's really – how old is your son?
He's 24.
Man, I give you a lot of credit juggling raising a child and your career. That's a lot. That's like two full-time jobs and maybe three because being a musician is not, you know, it's a lot of stuff that you're doing all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow, you're just like impressing the shit out of everybody, I think, here, James. So, you know, I mean, that's really impressive. 26 years of marriage and that's great. And raising
thanks.
A kid, being a full-time mom, full-time musician. Good for you.
Thank you.
Two more questions. What are you looking forward to in the future, either musically, professionally, or personally?
So musically, I'm looking forward to my next album, getting that up and running, and then hopefully, getting that out, getting my band out touring again. And I would love to go back to Europe with my band. And then personally, My husband and I are planning a vacation in the Greek islands, so I'm really nice. Looking forward to that.
That's great. And last question, and I really appreciate sharing your story. What's been the biggest change in your personality over the last 10 years, and how much of this change has been deliberate and intentional on your part, and how much has just been a natural part of aging?
I recently, last year or 2 years, I tripped in the sidewalks in New York and broke 2 fingers.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. And they were my pinky finger, my ring finger on my right hand. So, okay. I mean, if I had to break fingers, those would be the ones.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So that was really horrible. So ever since then, I've been really cautious, like when I'm walking around and in any situations. And I even get fearful, like when I get on a ride to ride a bike, like the first time I get on a bike after not riding, I'm afraid I'm going to fall.
Sure.
And I never had that, you know, and or climbing up on something or something like that. I have more fear and I'm much more cautious.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of that's age related too, because I think people in general just become more aware of stuff like that, you know.
So, yeah, stuff that could happen to you. Yeah.
Not as aggressive when you're making a turn in the left or something like that. You wait till all the cars come instead of just you know, powering through it. Or
and even skiing, you know, I don't go for like the hardest slopes anymore, you know, because it's just, I mean, yeah, I just don't do that anymore.
Totally get that. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, listen, I can't thank you enough for your time. Let me tell people where they could find you online, and please fill in the gaps if I miss anything. So first of all, it's Jane Getter, G-E-T-T-E-R. She's a phenomenal guitar player and just very intense, great music that she's putting out. You have a show coming up on June 3rd at Garcia's in Port Chester, correct?
Yep, Port Chester, New York. Yep.
Great. Okay.
It's part of the Capitol Theater.
Great. So if you're in the area, please go support Jane there. Her new album or her latest album, On, is available. You can get it at janegetter.com. It's also on Amazon. For those of you over in Europe, it's on Burning Shed. I think... What's that? Yeah, please.
Actually, the latest album is the live version of that on tour, but that's the latest studio album.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think you do lessons periodically.
Yep. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I teach a bunch. Yep.
So online Skype lessons
and in-person lessons at her home studio.
You can get a hold of Jane through the contact form on her webpage at janegetter.com. Let me ask you this. I know you said you're looking at getting your album from the next album recorded. From time to time, you know, people ask me about participating in, you know, people are curious, like things like funding or becoming executive producers. For some of the people that are on the show, is there opportunities like that with you?
Well, actually, yes. We are in the process of looking for the right person to become an executive producer for the next album. And it's got to be, obviously, the right person, a big music fan and, you know, supportive of the project and everything. But that is definitely something that we are doing. And,
So if someone, any of you guys listen to that, if you're interested in becoming an executive producer and working with an artist, obviously check Jane's music out and make sure it's your cup of tea. If you like great guitar playing, then it's probably going to be a fit. But how would they contact you? Like, can they go to the contact form on your website?
Yeah, just go right to my website, janegetter.com.
Great.
And there's a contact form there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Hey, any final words of wisdom?
Final words of wisdom. Just keep shedding.
Keep
just
shedding.
Keep shedding.
Hey, listen, thank you for everything. I really appreciate your time. Everybody.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Thanks again to Jane Getter for spending time with us. Please check her out and support her online at janegetter.com and all her other projects. Go to everyonelovesguitar.com, sign up to get on our newsletter list to get notified of future episodes along with some early product announcements. And remember, happiness is a choice, so choose wisely. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have some fun. Till next time, peace and love, everybody. I'm out.
We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.